You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
You know, hopefully people will see Don't Listen and won't immediately think like, oh, we'll just go ahead and skip this review then. It's actually called Voces in Spanish, yes. Which means, well, as it may sound like, voices. This is a new Spanish film that is a Netflix exclusive, directed by Angel Gomez Hernandez. Is he one of the people who did Wreck? Nope, he is yet another Spanish horror director, but this movie has the added bonus of being filmed by the guy who did the entire Wreck series, Pablo Rosso. Now, this movie itself is a ghost film. Honestly, the less said, the better. You can kind of say that this is kind of falling into those Conjuring, Insidious-style horror movies, but it does so much more with that that I don't really want to go into it a lot. Just know that a family has just dealt with a horrifying loss and they still feel haunted by the spirit of their son who passed away. And they bring in, you know, the paranormal, can't think of the word for
that. He's an EVP paranormal investigator.
Investigator. They bring in a paranormal investigator and he's like, hey, you know what? There's some spooky shit going on in this house and you think it's going to be one thing and it turns into another thing and it's actually kind of violent too, and that's Don't Listen. So let's get into it. My name is Adrian L. Critical. Joining me is Spider Mike.
Howdy.
And I got Robert Garza.
How's it going, everybody?
All right. So what did y'all think of this movie?
I really like this movie a lot. If anything, if I had to compare it story-wise, I would have to compare it to a weird kind of film. Did you ever watch the movie White Noise with Michael Keaton in it? Mm-hmm.
No, I remember
it's closer
out,
to that in plot than it is to a lot of those other movies. At least in the beginning it is. And then it gets kind of Conjury towards, I guess, the end, I guess, at this point. Like, it's difficult to really talk about the plot without giving anything away, but it does such a good job with its atmosphere, its cinematography. It gets going right away. Like I thought we were going to like lead into the kind of horror that's going on in here, but like within the first 10 minutes some shit goes down and it shows some shit within the first 10 minutes as well. Like, it doesn't shy away from anything that happens to anybody in this movie, and I think that's amazing. Yeah.
You know, recently I saw another Spanish horror movie called 32 Malasana Street, and that one also kind of felt like this is just trying to be a, not so much a ripoff, but it's trying to fall into conventions of American horror nowadays and just contemporary horror nowadays. And I was really worried that that's what this one was going to be as well. But it does some really inventive things with the cinematography. It has some actually really good scares.
Oh, 100%.
Yes, it does have jump scares, but they're extremely effective and disturbing with what exactly is the thing that makes you jump. And for that, I really dug it. The story itself, if you're into horror that's more kind of like on the tragic side, like something like Hereditary, I like that this also subverts your expectations on where it's going, because it's kind of a hard horror movie. It's not a casual, let's watch The Nun and then let's watch this. No, you're probably not going to like this, because this is going to show you some stuff that might upset you a little bit, at least if you've seen just a few things. What about you, Robert? What do you think of this?
Yeah, I think, don't really want to get into other reviews, but there has been a lot of comparison to the James Wan American stuff, and the stuff for me that is comparative there is that it's competent. You know, I think this is a film that's, I'm going to say it later at the end, but like, this is a film that's up there with The Orphanage for me. So yes, we have a plot that you could put on paper and it's like a lot of other ones, but just in terms of how we're dealing with the family and the first act, this is not an American mainstream horror movie, and it does really go for it. I think, just quick to nerd out a little bit on the visual side, the cinematography is fantastic. There's an opening drone shot of the pool that swings to the house. That's one of the coolest drone shots I've seen this year, and we've seen lots of drone shots this year because they pretty much open most horror movies now. But there's also a fly that we track in the film,
oh my
which
God.
I think
oh, yeah.
is gimmicky in some films, but not only did it not approach that for me, but I could track the fly when you were supposed to. I'm sure there's films where this is trying to be done. It just seemed really neat. There's a lot of really close, tight shots that remind you of like prestige drama, HBO type TV that I thought really added to what we do get into the family and stuff. There's a great pool focus with the son and the father talking on the walkie-talkie with a music cue that is right up there with the Ari Aster and all this stuff we like of the higher end art horror that we get here in the US. But when it comes to the stuff that did it for me was when we get into the horror tropes that actually service the plot. So we get the use of the fly, we get the use of some animals. The first act is covered in the color red.
Oh, 100%.
In the best way. And then once the story comes to the conclusion, it doesn't completely leave the movie, but it's not so in your face, because the movie, I really think for the beginning, especially when you get to the end, you realize that they're trying to tell you at the end, like, this is going to be a hell of a ride. And I really think it was. I think so much of those things were used really effectively. Towards the end, we get to the scarier, higher paced stuff and some montages that maybe some people, that'll be a little much for them. I was squirming. I dug it. I liked almost everything. I liked everything about it. I really liked it.
You know, it's kind of hard to find bad things to say about it, because like, the more I think about it, the more I do like it, yet for some reason I'm not feeling in love with it, and I can't really even put my finger on what it is exactly. I think the way it ends, I'm glad it ends the way it does, but part of me was still hoping, like, okay, well, if it does go in this other direction, I would also kind of like to see that. I didn't feel like it needs to change its ending, but I don't know, I feel like that would have made me love this movie in particular. But for the things I do like, we've mentioned the violence in it. It's not a super gory movie in the sense of something like, I don't know, any kind of slasher.
Yeah, it's not like zombie slasher gory. But when it's gory, it's gory, is really the best way of putting it.
It's just the fact that like you are watching a ghost movie.
Yeah.
So you don't really expect top-notch gore effects when they happen. So I hope that's not a turnoff for a lot of people, because I felt it not exploitative at all. I thought it was actually really, really effective uses of gore to make an already kind of horrific situation that much worse.
Yeah, I agree pretty much with everything you guys said. Like, there is, something holding me back from being like, I completely and utterly adore this film. I'm still not 100% certain as well that I can't put my finger on it. I think part of it involves that I was expecting a little more towards it, I guess. Also, the twist sort of with what the actual thing that's going on also was kind of weird, in my opinion. But I still went with it kind of thing. Also, like, I did really like that ending. That ending was a nice gut punch of an ending. And it sort of showed, like, it was one of those think back moments. And I love shit like that when it works. And it works really well here. One thing I would like to say is that a long time ago, I saw Cargill tweet something where he's like, a good horror movie plot is a plot where if there's not a ghost happening at all, it's still a really interesting story. And that's what I think this movie does really well, too, which is the fact that you are interested in what's going on with this family before anything goes down.
Absolutely.
And I wanted so much more from the family, to be honest.
I do want to give a special shout out to the director himself, Angel Gomez Hernandez. Because this is his first feature film, I believe.
Really?
He's done a couple. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's done a lot of shorts, and this is his first feature film. So I'm glad that it got picked up by Netflix. By the way, I know some people's Netflix. This happened with, I believe, you, Spider Mike. it'll just kind of auto-default it to play a dub. Yeah. Don't do that. You can go to the menu, and you can switch it back to Spanish and put English subtitles. That dub is not going to sound good.
No.
And this should be seen in its original language. Now, hopefully subtitles don't stop people from watching this, because I feel like there are those like BuzzFeed-type listicles that come out that are always like, these are the scariest movies on streaming services. And it's like shit that you've like, yeah, I guess, if you've like not seen a horror movie. But this is one that I hope it gets seen. I hope it actually has that kind of like, maybe not on the level of something like Bird Box where everybody had to fucking watch it. But if people are like, you know what, I want to see a good horror movie, Netflix, you know what, it finally has one. This one is really, really well done, to the point where I can't think of a lot of bad things to say about it. And for the fact that this is a first-time feature director, that kind of elevates the film itself. And everyone does a good job acting as well. The three main characters, Rodolfo Sancho, Ana Fernandez, Ramon Darrea plays the paranormal investigator.
So great in this movie.
He's so cool. I'm not sure if they have any intention of doing this. But if they were to be like, let's get maybe 2-3 more sequels with him, just doing another kind of like Ed and Elaine Warren type, let's go investigate.
I'd love that. There's even an after credit sequence in this movie that sort of, sort of hints at the idea of that. But yeah, you guys didn't see the after credit sequence? Yeah, there's an after credit sequence that sort of hints at the idea that, hey, we might see more of this guy kind of thing.
Oh, I can't be more in love with this movie.
God, I want more of that guy.
You know what?
Talk about a guy who loves his job.
Yeah, I don't want this to be a super short review, but you know, the less said, the better. So why don't we go to our final thoughts, unless someone wants to say anything else.
One thing I'd add is that, you know, I really respect the Spanish horror audience. We've seen a lot of great films that have got around the world because they've done well there. 32 Malasana Street, you mentioned, Adrian, did almost $5 million at the box office this year, is amazing for in Spain.
That is amazing.
This film came out in July in Spain and made more money than Color Out of Space did here in January.
Oh, wow.
So I really like that this just isn't some under-the-radar film over there either. It may not be a blockbuster, but it also got released 6 months into a pandemic.
Right. That's pretty impressive.
That's very impressive.
I was unaware of that. I know because like Color Out of Space actually did surprisingly well in here in the United States too. So
there's no surprises with me, guys. In this year of streaming and online festivals, I've been really lucky and seen somewhere. I think the count is about 70 new films this year online and in the theater in the first 3 or 4 months. And this movie started, and I think that it hit its pitch very, very quickly, like you said, Spider Mike, and did not stop. And so I'm going to give it a 10. Like, I'm not even going to front. I got so many of the things that I really like and none of the stuff that I'm just tired of. Might not even be that there's things that I don't like that weren't in this film, but it's just stuff seeing so many movies. You get really attuned to the stuff that's being tried a lot. But the stuff I got that I really love, we got completely unskeptical characters. There's no red herrings in the film. There's no dream logic. There's no crisis of faith. This one, like I said, is up there for the orphanage with me. Before the last 10 minutes of the film, I probably would have gave it about an 8, 8.5. But when it was over, even before this, I can't believe I haven't seen this after credit scene. I am 10 of 10. Reasons to follow international horror. Absolutely. I love it.
Right on.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, this movie does so much with so little at times. Like, when it gets going, it gets going. There's so many creepy shots that I was just constantly just like, don't fucking turn around. Just don't fucking do it kind of thing. Like, just shit like that. And you're just, the entire time I was horrified at times. And I was watching it in the middle of the day, too. That's saying something. When a horror movie can scare you in the middle of the day, you know you've done a really good job.
We didn't really mention that, Mike, that a huge chunk of this movie happens when the sun's out.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's not like a lot of, you know, like American ones where it's just like, oh, it's all at night and they only come at night. It's like, no shit, you're not safe, like, unless you're just not in the vicinity
at all.
Thing, kind of thing. And I love that about it. And it's just so good. I would have to give it 9.5 out of 10. Cheap laser robots that spin around. Yeah, I was like, why do you have that, kid? Like, your parents should have more money than this.
The the most annoying toy. But anyway, I really dig this, and I feel like the only reason I can't see myself giving it a 5 out of 5 is because I don't want to overhype it. I think it's a great horror movie, and I feel like if you're looking for a great horror movie and you're not ignorant and you can watch subtitles, you should check this out ASAP, because this is the one that I feel like Netflix has been waiting for. I dug the hell out of this. It has some really creative scares. It uses violence in a really queasy yet effective way. These are not your I ain't afraid of no ghosts type ghosts. These are ghosts that are gonna fuck you up if you let them. And it creates this like really anxiety-driven danger element to it. Yet it doesn't feel like, oh, there's no way to get out of this situation like a lot of other movies. I know ghosts maybe aren't real. Maybe they are. I'm going to say they are just to be safe. but you watch something like Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures, and it's like, all right, cool. You heard a voice, maybe. The shit that goes on in this movie is like, if Ghost Adventures just looked like this, I would dig it so much more. Because that's what makes it fun. It's fun to see a scary-ass face come out. It's fun to see, oh shit, there's someone in the room. You don't see it, but the camera does. It plays with a lot of that, and it plays with it really, really effectively. I dug it a lot. Go check it out. You're going to dig it too. You may grow on it. It may grow on me. But for right now, I'm going to give it a 4 Spanish horror movies that are really fucking good out of 5.
Yeah, this movie, man. Like, I remember the entire time he's there, I was like, you guys aren't the Ghostbusters. You're just some dudes with some cameras. We should probably go.
Yeah, it seems like it's difficult for you to walk, old man. How are you going to get out of
this? It was just a hint of it, but when we get into the voicemail that the dad's playing back, there's just a little bit of Event Horizon vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Even with just the audio, and it's making me flush again.
All right, well, if anyone hears any voices while listening to this, please write us at oneofus.net@gmail.com. Take care.